Good evening, welcome everyone. Shir number 67. Chof Kislev, Toshim Samach Zayin, Toshim Samach Ches. Year went by so fast. November 28th, 2007. Tonight we're continuing where we left off in the Oz Yashir Moshe of Bnei Yisrael as Ashira Zois part of the Seder. Oz Yashir, the famous Shiras Hayom. The splitting of the sea, the song that Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, the Jews sang when they crossed the Yam Suf. Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. You have the place over there? You have it?
I don't.
Okay. Well, in the regular art scroll sitter, the Hebrew English art scroll sitter, it can be found on page 78. Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara tells us, as we mentioned last week as well, Oz Yoshe Moshe, that Klal Yisrael, the Jews, they sang the Shira, the song, when they were saved from the hands of the Mitzrim. We said that they were trapped on all sides. In front of them, they had the powerful, treacherous waves. Behind them, the Mitzrim were running after them. To the right, they had Chayes Rois, wild animals. To the left, they had snakes and scorpions. If that was not enough, above them were 600,000 Malachi Chavola, angels of destruction, which we said were coming down above them. They were facing the Yam Suf. And when they jumped in the water, still it didn't cease. The waters were still going until Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, split the sea. Came up to the nostrils. And we discussed how last week we mentioned it was a situation where Tafsumnos Avoisam, they grabbed onto the trait of their forefathers. What was the trait of their forefathers? Tfilah, prayer. Rav Schwab Zatzal explains that in order to understand the nace of what took place over there, there's a point, a delicate point, a very fine point, which when we say this every day, we just might not realize this little fine point, which is not so little. There were no loudspeakers. There were no radios. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. He says a song of Shira. He says a song of to Hashem. Shira, by the way, Rav Schwab explains, is like a poem. It's poetry. This is the first Shira we have recorded in the Torah. But how did they hear him? This is the Machlekes in the Gemara, whether Moshe Rabbeinu said the first Pasuk and then they repeated it, part of it, all of it. They all said it together. These are different discussions, but whatever it was, they all heard Moshe Rabbeinu. That itself, explains Rav Schwab, was a chelik of the Nes. When we get up to this point in our davening, whether let it be during the week or on Shabbos, we sometimes see the words, but we don't always realize that the actual song itself, that in and of itself, is a chelik of the Nes. The fact that they were able to hear Moshe Rabbeinu. Step one. Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael Sashir HaZois LaHashem. Then they chose to sing Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe of Bnei Yisrael and the children of Israel as Sashir HaZois, this song LaHashem to Hashem. And they said, saying, Ashiru LaHashem, I shall sing to Hashem. Why? Why shall I sing to Hashem? Ki goy go. Because he is exalted above the arrogant. He is above all. Sus v'roich v'yroma v'yom. The horse with its rider, the Egyptian horses and their riders. Roma v'yom, he hurled into the sea. As the song tells us, the poetry tells us, Ozi v'zimus ko, my might and my praise is God. By he li Yeshua. And he, Hashem, And he was for me a Yeshua, salvation. And what happened then? They saw Ze Keli Vanvehu. This is my God. Bnei Yisrael lifted their eyes and they saw God. Ze Keli Vanvehu. This is my God, and I will build him a sanctuary. Elokei Avi V'Ramenhu. The God of my forefather, V'Ramenhu, and I will exalt him. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Omer Meir, Minayin Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah. How do I know this concept of Tchias HaMeisim will exist? That the dead will come to life once again. Shenemar brings a proof from where? From our tefillah right here. Oz Yoshe Moshe. The Gemara continues and says, Shenemar Oz Yoshe Moshe v'nei Yisrael sashir hazois l'Hashem. That they saw, they sang, they will sing in the future. Not in the past they sang. Shor loy nemar elo oz yoshe. They will sing in the future. Mikan, the Gemara says, l'tchias ha-meisim in ha-toyro. This is a proof of Tchias HaMeisim. The dead will come back to life. So, the Sefer Shiras David asks a question. He asks as follows. We know, we mentioned last week, whoever says Shira in this world will merit to say it in the world to come. We discussed it. This is one of the sources the Gemara elaborates of Tchias HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. Why do we have to mention the destruction of the Mitzrim, of the Egyptians, in the future? We'll say Oz Yashir. We'll discuss God's mighty, powerful strength, that He split the sea, that He drowned the Egyptians. They're dead, they're long gone. We have to say this song in the future? For what purpose? That's the question. And he answers as follows. He says, even though the Mitzrim were destroyed, and they were punished, however, their punishment was not complete. They deserve more. For the pain, for the suffering they caused the Klal Yisrael, they deserve more. And he brings a medrash. The Sefer Shiras David, Rav David Goldberg, brings a medrash. The medrash is about a king who had a son who was taken captive by a band of thieves. They brought him to a different place. The king went, of course, with all his might, saved his son, destroyed everybody, didn't leave a soul. After he brought his son back, the prince now was telling the king, his father, of all the horrors and tortures that he went through. As the prince is talking to his father, the king, his blood is boiling because he feels he wants to do more to avenge the terror that his son went through. But they're all dead. That's the mashal. The nimshal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that Klal Yisrael, Vayimaru Eschayehem, Bavoida Kosho, Vayimaru, they bittered their lives, Bavoida Kosho. Pregnant women gave birth and were taken, had to take that baby and stick the baby, this is a true story, stick that baby and put it in the pyramid. And they were forced to plaster up the baby. And they heard the baby crying. It's something that we say these words and we have, thank God, no relationship to it. But we have to try to imagine this and realize that this is what happened. Until the baby that they gave birth to, the voice was unheard because the baby died. They bittered their lives with difficult work. Continues the Shiras David. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought 10 makos, 10 plagues. V'gal bonov, and he redeemed his children. Af apichein, nonetheless. Hoya oimer, eini misnachem, ash eroi gulkulon. I am not appeased until I destroy all of them. Shnem ayvinar Hashem es Mitzrayim v'soy chayom. Hashem destroyed them. He turned them upside down. He drowned them in the water. Uksiv, it says, Sus v'rochvay roma v'yom. The sus, the horse and the chariot. He drowned them in the sea. And then we come to the power of what we have to say tonight in this part. Because what we're going to say now is that Hashem said the pain and suffering for 210 years that the Mitzrayim enslaved Klal Yisrael, and this that they died, the pain that they were punished with, the punishment that they received, it was not enough. Why? Because he brings the Beis HaLevi, and the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Zatzal, he explains that when we went down to Mitzrayim, we were a nation of 70 pure souls. Zera Kodesh. However, what did Paro do? Paro hechtiyom v'kilkulom. Paro caused us to sin. He brought us destruction. Until the point with all the sins that took place afterwards. For example, the Cheta Egel. Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, that every generation is still paying the price for the Cheta Egel. And who are the cause for this? The Mitzrayim. Their influence on us eventually caused us these other sins, the Cheta Egel. Because they imbued that tumor inside of us. Therefore, all the suffering that we, the Jews, that we suffer, because eventually when the Jew sins, Hashem has to punish him here so it doesn't get in the world to come. It goes back to who? It goes back to the Mitzrayim, because they were the source of our sin. And that's why in the future we will sing Oz Yashe Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es Ashir HaZois. We will sing this song to Hashem, because it will be then in the future that they will get the ultimate punishment, because their punishment is not over yet. Bring this a little closer to our time. Around 60 years ago, it used to be 50 years ago, time is flying. Now it's around 60 years ago, was the destruction of Churban Europe. The Jews, 6 million Jews. So once again, it's numbers that we say, but do we have a understanding? How can we? We're a different generation. What the Nazis Yimach Shemam did, what Hitler didn't just stop over there, didn't just kill 6 million Jews and affect all those who survived, but the generation that followed, that generation suffered as well. And their generation that followed to some degree, some of them suffered as well. In what way? We're here tonight, and we're here every single Wednesday night for one main point. A chizik and emunah, to strengthen our belief in Hashem. And unfortunately, there were many who asked, where is God? Which would not be an uncommon question to ask. And that's how this ties in to the Mitzrayim. Because the Mitzrayim attacked us, they attacked our emunah, they attacked our belief in Hashem. And in a few nights from now, we were lighting a candle the first night of Hanukkah, Tuesday night, Yemei Hashem. And what did the Yovan want to do? What did the Greeks want to do? The Greeks wanted to do the same thing in a different way, poison us. Put the poison inside of us. But keep the body. Don't destroy the Jew physically, but just spiritually. The goal of the Greeks were to darken our eyes, in the words of Chazal, to blind us so that we won't be able to see what's in front of us. Was to make a right turn, to make a left turn. With all the decrees, no bris milah, no Shabbos, no learning Torah. We get a knock on the door. I'm sure they would have knocked. The Greeks would come in. See us here tonight, right here, right now. It might not be a happy ending for us. My daughter said a few days ago, she said, when my 7-year-old, when a little discussion of the Holocaust came up, just for a few minutes, something came up. She said she's happy she doesn't live in those times. She didn't live in those times. And we have to be appreciative to Hashem for the same matter that we don't live in those times. That we are able to come here to learn with a sefer in our hand publicly in open display. We come up the steps, we go on Montgomery Avenue, wherever we're coming from. This is a chelik of the Nes. What was Yovan's goal? If we look back at the Greeks in history, the Greeks were the enlightened period with the great brains. Aristotle and his disciples, as opposed to who? As opposed to the Romans. Nebuchadnezzar, the Titus, barbarians. Destroyers. Destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. But the Greeks, open history books. They brought so much to the world. Math, science. And that's exactly what they wanted to leave behind. This message of what we brought to the world. Alexander the Great is coming. The ruler of the world. In his time, over the land, in his mindset. There's only one real king, of course. And he's coming to destroy, coming to attack the Jews. And who approaches him? And who calms him down? Who subdues his power, his might, and his strength? The Kohen Gadol. Generations before the whole battle of the Chashmonaim, Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol, as we know from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, Mishori Anshei Knesset Gedolah, from the Mishnah Perkei Avos, of the remnants of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He was the last of the men of the Great Assembly. And he comes with Kohanim, with torches, and picture this scene. Alexander the Great sees the face of Shimon HaTzadik, and what does he do? He gets off his horse, and he bends down, and he bows down to Shimon HaTzadik. And his soldiers and his officers are thinking, he had one too many to drink. What is he doing? This is the Jew who we came to attack, and now he's bowing down to him. Now, let's remind ourselves, Alexander the Great is a disciple of who? Of Aristotle. Aristotle, his mindset was what? If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. He said, I don't see God, God does not exist. Chas v'shalom, that's what he said. I can't touch it, I can't see it, it's not there. Alexander was spreading the world with this mindset. And he's coming to Eretz Israel, he's coming to the Jews to teach them this mindset as well. And he gets off his horse, and he bows down to Shimon HaTzadik. And his officers say to him, what are you doing? And he said that every night, before I went to war, I would have an image of a saintly face that would appear to me every night before I would win a victory. And it's this man's face. Now I see him in person. I'm not going to bow down. This is the Gemara relates, this whole entire story. So what's the conclusion over here? He comes, he wants to bring idols into the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. To the holiest place that we have. So what is the suggestion? Shimon HaTzadik, they suggest, what's an idol? We'll name our children Alexander. Keep the idols out. Don't worry about the idols. The boys that will be born will be named Alexander. And this is the source of Alexander, the Jewish name Alexander, which has been handed down from generation to generation.
I think only in the Ashkenazim.
That could be very well so.
It's a riot that Ashkenazi Jewry stems from the Yishuv that was in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Bava.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Now let's come back now. This next took place, Oz Yoshe Moshe of Israel, Es Ashira Azois LaHashem. We just said that it will be a situation where the ultimate revenge will take place, where L'Osu Lova in the future. So what is this telling us? The first message this is telling us, who's in charge? Hashem's in charge. And what we see in front of us with our eyes over here, this is not the end. Because this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Aleph from Abayis, tells us, Tchias HaMeisim HaTayim Minayin. Where do I know Tchias HaMeisim from? Where do I know the dead will come back to life? Amar Meir, Minayin Tchias HaMeisim HaTayim Shneva Oz Yoshe Moshe Bnei Yisrael, from this pasuk right here. When we say this in our davening every single day, and we remind ourselves that there will be a day when the dead will come back to life, when we tell ourselves that one day we will die, if Mashiach doesn't come before that day, it boosts us to a whole new focus. Rav Miller Zatzal, Rav Avigdor Miller, would tell us, would say over, the importance of a person discussing the Olam Haba, the world to come, to focus on the bigger and better things in life. And when we realize and we focus on Tchias HaMeisim, on Olam Haba, that there is a world to come. Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Rabbi Yaakov said, the Tanna of Yaakov said, Haskin atzmecha b'proizdor, prepare yourself in the hallway, kedei shetikonis ha-traklin, in order that you should enter the traklin, the big palace. This world is a hallway. We should view this world, the Mishnah tells us, as a hallway. Just last night, I saw a little piece of paper, and I won't get into details. My initial reaction was I got a little annoyed. Why? Because when I was involved with something, I was denied the permission to do something. And then here I see this paper, and I asked my wife, I said, what is that? So she explained to me. And initially, like I said, and I don't be recorded, I want to be recorded. I said to myself, I said, I didn't like that. I was a little upset. This feels for me as well. Everything here is for me. And then I caught myself. I said, wait, what are you doing? Who's in charge? Hashem's in charge. When I was denied, whatever I was denied, well, nothing major at all. It was just Hashem wanted to remind me who's the boss. And I said, what's the big deal? And a certain type of barometer, you know, you could go out to, you know, you buy a battery tester, you know, there's different things to buy over there. A friend of mine over here has you want to know how many stamps to put on the envelope and the weight, so you have a machine like that. There's everything to measure, to weigh. How does a person weigh if something's important or not? I once had one of my children, that was a few years ago. So it was Erev Shabbos, putting on the sitting the Shabbos table, and the napkin holder is on the table. So I'm walking through the dining room, and I see him with a napkin holder. It was a glass one, was past tense. And he.
What's it now?
It's nothing now. And he was just chopping, just smashing it, you know, and glasses flying. He was around two. And like, effort, like, come on, what are you doing? And he's just going away and going chopping, glasses flying everywhere. And he was oblivious to the danger of it, you know. And finally, I grabbed it away from him. I said, what are you doing? You know, it's of course the initial reaction. No, I didn't. I wasn't concerned with him. I just wanted to take him away and clean up the glass. But imagine if that was a very expensive, who knows what antique. Thousands of dollars. The initial response might be like, what are you doing? Who knows what it might be. The Sefer Aruch HaPayim tells us, now this is a very difficult point in life, but it tells us how do we measure. And you don't have to buy it in any store, not in Home Depot, not in Office Depot, not in I forgot that one of the fancy gadgets. Anybody know? None of these stores. What is it? If it's going to make a difference in our future in Olam Haba, that is what we should get upset about or not. If it's going to make a difference in Olam Haba. So that they say the story with the person who had it, a very valuable set of tefillin. A very valuable set of tefillin from his grandfather. That's the way he heard the story over. You know the story?
I've heard.
And what happened? Comes along the Yontif of Sukkis. And he needs an Esrog. And no one's able to buy an Esrog. It wasn't like we have today. This type, that type, big, little, small. So he sells his tefillin, the family heirloom, and he gets this Esrog. And his wife, I think the tefillin came from the wife's side, if I think so. Okay, fine. He has his tefillin there. He has his Esrog there now. But you know what they didn't have? They barely had any food. His wife finds out that he didn't sell his tefillin for food, but he sells it for a fruit. You ever eat an Esrog? It's bitter. After Sukkot, one of my sons, he asked me to cut it open. I think he took a bite, and another one took a bite. He comes home. His wife is very upset. Throughout the commotion, she takes the Esrog and breaks the pit. Imagine the scene. Breaks the pit, and it's gone. He took the tefillin, he sold the tefillin for the mitzvah of the Esrog. Now, he obviously had another pair of tefillin. He had to put on tefillin every day. But this is the family's special tefillin from the great Rebbe. And he's left with nothing. Not even a good fruit. And what was his response? What did he say? He said, just like the mitzvah was to buy the Esrog, for the mitzvah of Sukkis, now the mitzvah is not to get angry. Now the mitzvah is not to get angry. That's right, say that again. Because who's in charge of everything? Hashem is in charge of everything. And that is the message of Oz Yoshe Moshe V'nei Yisrael Sashir HaZois. This song which we will sing in the future. Says the Gemara in Soita. Daf Lamed Mem Beis. Ketzed Amar Shira. How do they say Shira? How do they say this song? Says the Gemara that the Yoinek and the Oilel, the infant, and the baby nursing from the mother, stopped nursing. And the infant and the newborn turned around and said, Zeh Keli Van Veyu, this is my God and I will glorify Him. The Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Beis tells us Why did they have these specific... It tells us that there were specific nisim, miracles, that took place for the babies. And that's why they, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, they themselves were given Ruach HaKodesh, this divine inspiration, and they were able to say song thanks to Hashem. What were the miracles that took place? What happened over here? What were the nisim? Shakash Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, Shakash Baruch Hu also im hayoladim neis miyuchad. Hashem made a specific neis, specific miracle for the little children. Shayu anashim yolui soyson besada. The women gave birth to the children in the field. If the Mitzvah found out about it, of course, they'd kill the babies right away. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sholach lehem shmei moroim. Hashem brought down, sent down an angel. The mothers left the babies in the field. And Hashem sent down an angel, and the angel appeared out of this stone. This baby was able to nurse oil, honey, sweets. What happened next was that the Mitzvah came. They came to the fields, and they were looking for the babies. And they found them. And they came after the babies, these helpless infants. It's a true story. Just like the stories when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, took the babies from the mother's hands and smashed the baby's head. Here Hashem made a nace. What was the nace? That the ground swallowed up the baby alive. The baby was still alive. The ground swallowed up the baby. The mitzvah weren't finished yet. Let's see how far, to what degree, they wanted to kill these little infants. They got plows to plow up the ground. They saw in front of their eyes this miracle, and they said, we can get a plow to plow up the ground and kill the baby. And they did not succeed. And when they left, the earth brought the baby back out. It's this nes that these infants thank Hashem specifically for this nes that saved their lives. The Gemara says the babies that were b'mei imam, that were in his mother's womb, they sang shira to Hashem. Now, what specific nes did Hashem do for these babies inside the mother's womb? The baby's born already. The baby's inside, being protected from... In general, a child in the mother's stomach is a nes. But what specific nes did Hashem perform for these babies? These unborn babies? Another Gemara. Gemara Gittin tells us that a certain wind would come along and cause women to miscarry. And this powerful wind came along at the same time of Kriyas Yamsuf. And the women did not miscarry. And it was that nace that was done specifically for the children, b'mei imam, in the mother's womb, that they were given divine inspiration to sing Shira to Hashem. Hours late, we'll end off with another nace. A nace that exists right now in this room, a nace that exists in the room next door, a nace that exists by every single one of us Jews who come to learn Torah, that come to perform the mitzvahs, that we live in a generation where the assimilation rate is unfortunately just growing. And when a person can take his menorah, and when he can light that candle tomorrow, Tuesday night, that first candle, and he is a nes, he has to remind himself, as one of my rebbeim, Rosh Shlomo Brevda Shlita, as he says over, that we have to remind ourselves that we are a nes, we are saved, we were saved from the hands of Yavon, which ultimately go back to the hands of Mitzrayim, and they'll get punished for that as well, as we learn from the Beis Halevi, because they were the cause of these other problems that came out afterwards. That we are a nace. Our existence as a practicing Jew, person comes to learn Torah, person puts on tefillin, person keeps Shabbos, puts up a mezuzah, it's a nes, it's a miracle. Why should he exist? Why should I sit here in this seat? Why should anybody sit here in any of these seats? You have to thank Hashem for that nes as well. In Mitzvah Hashem, in the future we'll sing the song, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we should be able to continue singing the song to bring Mashiach soon.